So last but never least, or with a baseball analogy, I think, are you the cleanup hitter?
Yeah.
That's not, okay, not a pinch hitter. No. Okay. So for those of you who maybe at a different point in time in transition in your life, thinking about retiring or have retired, I've asked Ted Walworth to come and share with us what he did.
Sure. Good afternoon. The subtitle of this talk was How, Where, and What, to which I've added when, because my opportunity came at retirement. And there I am in the Central African Republic. Giving you a little bit of background, in the fourth year of medical school, I married a classmate who's sitting out there, and we went on the Columbia Presbyterian tropical medicine elective, not to Africa, but to Taiwan. So we were at a Mennonite Christian hospital for 2 months. At the time, it was a pretty sophisticated facility compared to some of these others we've seen, but it was an eye-opening experience nonetheless. So every possible form of tuberculosis, for instance. Residency at Dartmouth was in the early 70s, and mind you, that was pre-CT, pre-laparoscopy, not to mention robotics. As a surgeon this morning said, he likes single-port surgery, xiphoid to pubis. This was the era of open surgery, so my generation is not afraid to open up a belly. My fellowship was 2 years in the Naval Reserve in Charleston, South Carolina, fulfilling a military obligation at the time. Then my wife and I moved to Maine, and we had that thing called private practice, building parallel practices for 33 years. Early on, I was doing aortas, but my wife being a nephrologist, I ended up doing a lot of vascular access, and would occasionally assist the obstetrician on a weekend doing a cesarean section if I wanted to get the next patient, my appy, into the operating room a little sooner, but really not paying all that much attention to the other kinds of specialties. One week in 2002, I went to Haiti, to Fond du Lac, if that rings a bell. But that was basically lumps and bumps with local anesthesia and conscious sedation, and that was a taste of what could be done. At an ACS Clinical Congress in San Francisco in 2006, I saw a thing on the wall, notice of a information session about Doctors Without Borders. This was not part of the Congress, mind you, it was off site, but I went to that and was intrigued. Because, of course, Doctors Without Borders has been in the news for years. It was always in the back of my mind. So when I retired to clinical practice in 2010, I spent a month doing absolutely nothing, and then decided to apply online. I heard nothing, got nothing back. Called Chicago because I knew Kathleen Casey. Then I got a call from Doctors Without Borders in New York City. Oh, well, we got your application. We've got many. Take your time. And so it was a year-long process, a telephone interview, personal interview, then an orientation session. But finally, a year to the day after retiring, I went on my first mission in Duékoué, Côte d'Ivoire, Ivory Coast. And there's the common mode of transportation in Africa. All my experience is through Doctors Without Borders, which I'll now call MSF, because I dusted off my schoolboy French, and although I couldn't understand the Europeans at dinner time, the conversation flashing back and forth, my French met the test when it counted. And by the way, all of them spoke English anyway. So 1 month, and these were all 4 week missions, except 5 weeks on the third time. And now my understanding is it's a 6 week commitment with Doctors Without Borders. Anyway, the second one was in Haiti. I'll get back to Roby Thompson in a minute. I took Sherry's course at Stanford in February 2013, which is terrific. And as I recall, it's not just general surgeons learning orthopedics for the moment. You even taught gynecologists how to do hernias, right? So it works both ways in these courses. The third mission, going back to the first one, I did a lot of assisting because of the local national surgeons were coming back in, and Sherry was my successor there. That's how we met. Laogan, Haiti, was the epicenter of the earthquake, and so there's a lot of stress on orthopedics. in Powys in the CAR, I was the only surgeon. And I'm glad that wasn't my first mission in retrospect, because I'd had this some other experience under my belt. And finally, the fourth and last experience was in the Congo, Eastern Congo, got there via Rwanda. And it was a part of a three-person rotation team. And I will say that there were briefings before the first and third. There were briefings and debriefings in Paris and in Port-au-Prince in Haiti. Now, here's the international team in Haiti, and we're looking at Canadians, Spaniards, French. The lady in the middle smiling is a Hungarian, a lady from Rwanda. The Oriental person is actually from Belgium. And on the far right of the picture is Roby Thompson, age 78, speaking of retired surgeons, former president of the American Academy of Orthopedics, and the chief of surgery in Minnesota, whose specialty was osteosarcoma. Well, he was doing splints, plaster, external fixation, and tendon repairs, and he helped me on a few cases. So, recommendations for the retiree: don't wait to look around, at least until you retire. And we've seen the full panoply of opportunities here. You need to be aware of the opportunities. I didn't have those being in private practice, but maybe the new practice models of either locum tenens, or if you're an employed physician at a certain hospital, part of your contract can be that you want to spend 3 months here or 3 months there at your own, maybe on at your own expense, but at least you get that time slot. But if you're retired, don't forget to keep accumulating your CMEs, and you got to keep your medical license active. Go to your local hospital, grand rounds, trauma rounds, things you always did go to. Just keep going and do that and observe if you can. And maybe if you still have liability coverage, you can scrub in and assist on a hip or a cesarean, et cetera. Take these courses on humanitarian surgery. You've seen the opportunities there. And as a general surgeon, become the complete general surgeon in the old sense. Adding orthopedics, GYN, cesareans. I did more cesareans in 1 month, that first month, than I ever had seen in my whole life. Urology, I even did exposed brain tissue with the skin flap of the scalp, so I call it my neurosurgical experience. And so it went. And incidentally, Dr. Michaels, everything you talked about, you almost stole my statements, because everything that you saw him talk about, MSF and those cultural standards in these emergency situations, that was all very true. Just want to show you four pictures of cases you're not going to, one case that you're not going to see in the States. Here are the national surgeons and anesthesia putting a little kid to sleep. There's the problem. Who knows why he arrived at the hospital like that, but we cleaned up the wound. Dressing changes are far and away the case you're going to do the most. Pansement, dressing changes, time and again, clean up the infection, then you can do the definitive case. There's the definitive case. And look at that. He's unhappy, but look at Mama's face. That is gratification for her and for me, because he's in a better situation. So what sort of assignment do you want to go on? You can go with a worldwide organization such as MSF. You can go do cleft lips. You can do go with a dental. You can go with an ophthalmology. So it can be a site or especially a specific opportunity. You can go to a teaching institution such as we heard about in Malawi, or to a rural outpost in a conflict area such as with MSF. The duration of assignment, this becomes pertinent for the retiree, because I would go for 4 or 5 weeks. But did I want to leave my wife alone for 3 months, 6 months? Mind you, with MSF, the pediatricians and internists go for 6 months. The nurses go for 6 months. The pool was such that they could get surgeons and anesthesia folks there for 4 to 5, now 6 weeks. Now, Operation Giving Back on the website has 51, count them, 51 opportunities. So do your research there. All sorts of, it's quite a variety pack. When you're out in the field, here's your backup. These are all in French, obstetrical situation, isolated situation, and so on. But the real Bible, and this is Sherry doesn't go without it, neither do I. It comes on disc, forget the disc, the computer might not work. These are the Bibles, Primary Surgery. It's from Oxford Medical Publications, Maurice King, lead author. It's not for sale downstairs, and it really should be. Problems for the retiree. Forget about maintaining your board certification. NISQIP is not in Africa. And maintenance, the MOC business just doesn't apply for what you're doing over there. Attenuation of the mindset. Mind you, I did this for 1 month out of 12 per year for 4 years, which means for 11 months you're not thinking about medicine. So over time, that's not good. You're getting older. How's your coordination? How's your vision? And then along come four grandchildren. My wife and I have four grandchildren now under 4 years of age. It's time for new priorities. I'm just finishing up fast now. This is the Congo, Belgian, Congolese, American, Belgian, and Burkina Faso personnel. These are the reasons to go for it. You're mature, you've had experience, you've got a lot of experience under your belt, which means you're not a rookie. It's a validation of your career. You challenge your own comfort zone. As a retiree, you can now see the world. You can go on cruises and do this or that. This is another way to see the world, the real world, and you appreciate the broader scope of medicine and of humanity. Thank you.